Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 26th day of June, 2021. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and as some of you know, I've had a challenge over the last few weeks, not only dealing with trying to get these shows pre-recorded because I still have to be on oxygen, but because of the obvious imminence now of a threat I've talked about for as long as I've been doing this show, but now manifest on so many fronts that a lot of people who can't handle the truth just shut down like a deer in the headlights. Now, I know that certainly doesn't apply to most listeners here, but we've all seen it, and we're certainly having to deal with it, and it's going to get worse. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Regular listeners are used to me telling it like it is, not pulling punches, but even so, this week, well, I'll say this as gently as I can. War is at hand, folks, and denial of that may well be deadly. So what I'm going to do today is explore a couple of very specific aspects of that war and the fact that it is undeniable at this point. And if it's not obvious after we go through some of these, it will be. Certainly this is information that you might use to try to get through to some of those who've been drinking the Kool-Aid and simply, odds are, aren't going to hear it until it, sadly, just plain outright kills them. Hopefully it won't get anybody else killed along with them. But I think maybe even the bigger issue for today is for all of us. And that includes those of us who've known what's coming for quite a while now to realize that not only is it way later than we think, but also that there are some gaps that will not be bridged. And I start with this because it's one of those things that sounds simple until we really try to put our heads around just how sincerely true it is. We may recall, if we're not completely ignorant of history, how the Civil War was said to have turned brother against brother. We might remember, too, how the Messiah in Scripture warns us about how a man's enemies, and it seems like he was talking about a time like this, will be those of his own house. And there are related warnings about family members versus one another. But I need to say it again. I think what we're seeing, having been so carefully plotted around us, goes far deeper than even what we might think based on those understandings. We're going to see breakdowns, folks, rifts, violence, like I don't think most people can even begin to conceive of. Let me give you an example to set the stage and kind of, hopefully at least, outline what I mean. Let's talk for a second about critical race theory. Now, my first reaction, having looked at this a long time ago, was, good grief, what a whole bunch of, yeah, I'll say it, BS. Is there anybody so stupid as to believe that that could possibly be the case? And the answer is, you betcha. And there's a lot more than you might think, and they've been carefully cultivated and groomed for exactly such a time as this. I mean, how can people not see that if black lives matter, it's at least as true that all lives matter? But if you call somebody a racist for making a statement that once upon a time, back when we had brains, would have been inherently, patently, undeniably obvious, I gotta say it, you're beyond hope. So let's not kid ourselves, folks. The kind of people that can't see obvious in-your-face contradictions, like the hypocrisy of calling somebody a racist or a domestic terrorist just because they happen to be white, short of direct divine intervention, are beyond hope. Don't waste your time, much less your breath. History, logic, economics, law, facts, none of them are going to make a blankety-blankin' bit of difference. Their mind may be utterly vacant, but it's made up. And there comes a point, as the Messiah once again said in Scripture, where you better just wipe the dust off your sandals as a witness against them and move on. They're intent on killing themselves and taking as many people with them as they can, and short of prayer, at this point, there's probably nothing more you can do about it. Let me throw out a couple more obvious things, at least once upon a time when people were halfway sane, they'd have been obvious to help make the point. You've probably heard this one. Once upon a time, it would have been the Onion or the Babylon Bee. But if you suggest that 2 plus 2 equals 4, and there's just one right answer, and some dumbed-down, hopelessly ignorant idiot, and am I making myself clear here, tells you that, oh no, that's not true. You must be a white supremacist. Understanding elementary mathematics or logic makes you a white supremacist. Oh, really? Well, here I grew up thinking it was logic, elementary mathematics. And you'd have to be brain dead not to get it. And in a nutshell, that's why Big Brother has spent multiple billions of dollars and decades teaching entire generations how not to think. It's the unspoken purpose of Madison Avenue, Hollywood, and of course, the Waystream Media. And the evil brilliance of the plan is, if they can't understand simple logic or cause and effect, and facts don't matter anyway, then once they fall into the leftist pit, they're never coming back. They will deliberately fail to see how they got there, and they certainly can't think their way out. I remember being upset years ago by a Bart Simpson t-shirt that said, ignorant and proud of it. That turns out just to have been an early warning. But think about the brilliance, folks, of this insidiously satanic plan. You've got a whole subculture of people who are utterly ignorant of everything that once would have been called basic facts 101. And here's the irony. They just know they're smarter than you because of it. And they reject elementary logic and any understanding of cause and effect, so you can never convince them of anything with facts or logic. And it may be hard for us to realize, much less accept this in a fellow human being, but you're wasting your time trying. And this is the truly ugly part. Now they've been weaponized. And now the regime is telling them the enemy is anybody who can still think for themselves. If it sounds like something out of John Carpenter's sci-fi classic, They Live, you're beginning to see what I mean. So from there, let's move on to the first of today's, let's just say, historic proofs. This time, courtesy of Adolf's acolytes, whether we're talking the CCP or their marionettes in the swamp. In this case, though, it looks like the Biden Fuhrer has gone so far that even the sycophants at the Daily Mail in the UK aren't quite drinking his Kool-Aid. Here's their headline, and I'll do it with the proper emphasis based on their use of capitalization. Biden blames guns for surge in crime. Got to change this word to something more appropriate. Fuhrer announces crackdown on gun dealers and mocks Second Amendment, you know, the thing he put his hand on a Bible and lied about, by saying you need nuclear weapons to take on the government. The bullet points go on to say that the marionette in chief laid the blame squarely on the proliferation of guns on Wednesday, and forget about all their encouragement to criminality. The Daily Mail even admits that Republican attorneys general warned last year that the riots would inevitably lead to a surge in crime. And they point out that the senile one is wagging his finger in the wrong direction. Biden warned Americans, the piece begins, to brace for a summer of violence. And let me say this, no, not for the reasons he's pushing, but precisely because of what the Bolsheviks have been doing and now intends to escalate to make darn sure it happens. He went on, they said, to mock Americans who believe that they need firearms or even have a God-given, once constitutionally protected, right to them to protect them from a government that's doing exactly what the founders warned us about. And in the process, folks, he spat on the graves of all of those Americans who pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors, or literally died for those rights that he and his ilk are now taking a crap on. And the Daily Mail offers this quote, if you want to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, well, you'd better have F-15s, he said, or maybe some nuclear weapons. Let me say this again, folks, as kindly as I can, given the situation. This guy stole an election, laughed in your face, then put his hand on a Bible, lied and laughed in your face again, and is now basically coming right out and telling you, you don't have nukes, I do, you're toast. What are you going to do about it? And this shouldn't surprise anybody. He threatened licensed gun dealers, too. Back when free Americans could own property, folks, you didn't have to be a licensed anything in order to buy, sell, or trade. Obviously, and especially the only kind of property that was explicitly enumerated in the Bill of Rights as shall not be infringed. But now he's telling licensed gun dealers that they'd better dot every I, cross every T, and make darn sure they know who butters their bread, because he promised, as the Daily Mail put it, zero tolerance for any dealers who can be caught breaking the rules. His proposals to focus on gun dealers rather than criminals, and his mockery for anybody that can read the Second Amendment, brought a rapid backlash, it says, from Republicans who accused him of bowing to the radical left wing. And listen to this vapid idiocy. Says the Biden Fuhrer, quote, no one needs to have a weapon. Oh, I could have stopped there. That's basically where he's headed. No, he said, no one needs to have a weapon that can fire 30, 40, 50, even up to 100 rounds, unless you think the deer are wearing Kevlar vests or something. where again he demonstrates his complete and total idiocy and ignorance of everything even remotely associated with American history. I guarantee you, his Secret Service deer are certainly wearing Kevlar. These merchants of death, he said, are breaking the law for profit. If you willfully sell a gun to someone who's prohibited, and of course, as we know now, folks, real soon now, that means you. My message to the Biden Fuhrer to you is this. We will find you, and we'll seek your license to sell guns. Oh, they're planning more than that. We'll make sure you can't sell death and mayhem on our streets. Evidently, he means, that's our job. And they haven't been your streets for quite a while now, have they? But from here on out, I guess I'd better go right to the horse's you-know-what. Some of this stuff, you've just got to hear him try to read right from the teleprompter. Because it sets a new standard for duplicity, even for this scumbag. He starts right out with lies and keeps on piling them on.
And I might add, the Second Amendment from the day it was passed limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own.
What a crock! Obviously, this airhead has never read it. There's no mention whatsoever in there of what type of people it applies to or doesn't, because this blithering idiot, and I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt there, doesn't pay attention to what is explicitly being forbidden from doing exactly what he is doing. It is an explicit prohibition on the government, and it says very simply, succinctly, and categorically, it's the people, that doesn't mean you have anything to say about it, you scumbag, the people's right, and that means it's God-given, pre-existing, and a natural right that's merely being protected by the Constitution, the people's right to keep and bear arms, listen carefully, all of you tyrants, shall not be infringed. Doesn't say which arms, because it means all of them. And shall not is a pretty general prohibition, not on any of the people, but simply a complete prohibition on this government from this Constitution.
You couldn't buy a cannon.
Most people didn't need, couldn't afford a cannon. Thomas Jefferson, though, and maybe this helps to make the point that the scumbag speaking here is such a liar, had one at Monticello.
And I might add, the Second Amendment from the day it was passed limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Those who say the blood of patriots, you know.
Yeah, I know. We know. And obviously you don't.
Those who say the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the tree of liberty is not water with the blood of patriots. What's happened is that there have never been, if you wanted to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons.
And ha ha, you peons, not only do you not have those, pretty soon you're not going to have pistols or AR-15s, much less ammo for them either. Ha ha, aren't we clever?
The point is that there's always been the ability to limit, rationally limit, the type of weapon that can be owned. And who can own it?
That's my story. Oh, that's my story. Well, I ain't got a witness, and I can't prove it. But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
You get it? The only place that was ever true was on a slave plantation. And that's what he's talking about, because as far as he's concerned, you're still a slave. And in Joe Biden's senile, twisted, demented, mafia-like mind, where only his made men can have weapons, slavery never ended, and all of you slaves are still subject to his absolute will. Slaves can't own property, especially weapons, and when they get their way, and they're really close now, neither will once free Americans. Look at history. They'll lie about it. The founders didn't want Americans to be feudal serfs, subjects of the crown. And that's why we have protection for those once obviously understood to be God-given rights. And just to set the record straight, let me read the actual quote from Thomas Jefferson that this guy objects to so vociferously he gagged just trying to get it out of his lying mouth. And Jefferson's talking about exactly what seems to have happened. Once Americans got fat, dumb, and lazy and quit remembering their own history and law, and obviously now the men who fought and died to protect rights they no longer give a damn about. Quote, and what country can preserve its liberties if its rulers are not warned from time to time that this people preserve the spirit of resistance? Let them take arms. The Tree of Liberty, he said, must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants, unquote. And I guess this fits, too. He won't quote it at all. Thomas Jefferson in a proposal about the Virginia Constitution. And while it obviously happened simultaneously, this actually predates the signing of the Declaration of Independence, June 1776. Quote, no free man shall ever... And do you catch that, folks? Here's the element that the racist evil Biden Fuhrer is gloating about. It underlies every comment he's made about how not everybody could keep and bear arms, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know, just like then, those people. And now we get to decide who those people, and I guess we won't call them N-words now, he's probably thinking, but you know what I mean, really are, and they don't get to keep and bear arms. Even while he accuses those who understand the truth of being the domestic terrorists. You want to see real racism writ large, folks? You want to understand real Jim Crow laws and who it applied to? Look and see precisely what they're doing today. It's been repeated throughout history. The party of lynchings that brought you the Ku Klux Klan and the very first gun laws in the United States, and if you'll study history, you know precisely who they apply to, is clearly at it again. Don't let them lie to you. This is as Hitlerian, as satanic, as evil as it gets. Why, hey, come to think of it, it's almost right up there with mass murder by injected bioweapon. But it's the very same motivation, the same evil spirit, and the same goal. And yeah, the book of Ecclesiastes had it right thousands of years ago. There's nothing new under the sun. So with all of that on the table, and with the historic context clearly in mind, let's quote what Thomas Jefferson had to say about the proposed Virginia Constitution in the middle of 1776. He was historically anti-slavery. Note that he tried to put a clause explicitly into the indictments of the Declaration of Independence against it, and that was struck against his vociferous objections in order to achieve the unanimous consent that simply had to happen. And long before the Constitution and the Second Amendment to the Bill of Rights were written, Jefferson had been talking about the right to keep and bear arms for over a decade and a half. So listen carefully to how he put it in the context of the controversy of the summer of 1776. Quote, no free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms. The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny in government. And no, the Bolsheviks aren't about to remind you of any of that. Finally, let's quickly dispense with this, we care about you and want to stop crime, bull you know what. These are people who are letting terrorists and murders in mass across the southern border, releasing convicted felons from prison in the American cesspool central cities, and have already destroyed the entire concept of honest law enforcement. Whether we're talking about defunding police in those cesspools, or suborning perjury and covering up for treason at the highest levels of the FBI. Meanwhile, they're so transparently full of it that they try to call you a domestic terrorist, racist extremist, not to mention all kinds of other purgatives they've used for a long time, like conspiracy theorist, Trump supporter, and vaccine denier, because the real goal is obviously to demonize and then kill you. And it looks more and more like a whole lot of bitter clingers aren't going to take the poke and aren't going to turn loose of their Bibles or their guns. So it looks like they're back to doing what you already knew they'd been planning all along. After all that, I guess I've got no choice today but to go back and review a story from earlier in the week that we should have known was leading right here. In other words, Big Brother was careful to roll out the Gestapo and warn you that they've got F-15s and nukes and you don't before they came right out and told you what they intended to do with them. Courtesy of Jack Phillips and the Epoch Times, the Department of Just Us, and that's about as far from justice as you can get, folks, on Tuesday announced they will use so-called strike forces to go after the American public. Well, they claimed it was to target illegal firearms traffic in major United States socialist cesspools. The strike force will be launched within 30 days in a whole bunch of Democrat-run pits, including New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, the District of Criminals itself, San Francisco and their surrounding metro areas. And they will use the evil, unconstitutional Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives to coordinate with designated, and you know what that means, U.S. attorneys to target what they're calling firearms trafficking corridors. Oh, and these strike force groups won't necessarily just be limited to operating within these metropolitan cesspools, said the Department of Justice, and they will, of course, share information and otherwise collaborate across districts and certainly continue to violate the Bill of Rights nationwide. Quote, from places where guns are unlawfully obtained, and it's becoming obvious that means the peons have them, to areas where they're used to commit violent crimes. And in a lot of places, folks, we call those gun-free killing zones. The oath-breaking Attorney General Merrick Garland said, firearms trafficking strike forces will investigate and disrupt networks that channel guns into our communities. And he said all of this, quote, reflects our shared commitment to keep communities safe and free of the Bill of Rights and anything that once represented American freedom or the ability to fight back against what we've got planned for you. As you might guess, folks, those of us that have actually ever read the words shall not be infringed know just how incredibly evil and a violation of an oath that they took but never intended to honor anyway these Gestapo-like strike forces are, and suggest, as usual, that there's more to this than meets the eye. After all, who, says the regime in Washington, are the real terrorists? You betcha. Once called honest, God-fearing Americans, this new regime has a whole different definition. They've done everything but put yellow stars on them so far. They're racist, and if you remember what the previous denizen in the White House said, they're bitter clingers to their guns, their God, and their Bibles. They think they've read the Constitution and know what the words shall not be infringed mean, and they think that they have a right to resist what Big Brother intends to do to them. So they're targets. We've seen the attempt to institute Soviet-style red flag laws, where the very fact that you want a gun means you must be crazy, and therefore you can't have one. And it's a great excuse for busting down doors at 4 a.m. and blowing people away, too. But your host will suggest, folks, that this initiative is at least one or two steps even more insidious. Ultimately, they intend to shut down any so-called transfers by the new slave class of any firearms for any reason whatsoever. Because, you see, once upon a time, there was a thing called private property in America. If you owned something, you had the right to use it, loan it, sell it, modify it, will it, trade it, even destroy it if you wanted to, or even just give it to your son. The very idea of a communist-style background check was anathema to free Americans. Free people owned things. They didn't have to ask permission from their feudal lord. But so far as the Biden regime and their new communist Chinese party masters are concerned, those days are gone. And what they call the gun show loophole and the private property loopholes are things to be done away with. They want Big Brother to control any and all, not just sales, but transfers of anything. From drugs to guns and pretty soon now food, certainly including vitamins, supplements, and herbals, that he doesn't think you should be allowed to possess. The media, and you can bank on this, will showcase the high-profile targets of the so-called strike force. You know, drug lords and criminal gangs that don't have fast and furious connections to the right kind of people. Or you might choose to say, the big guy. Whereas behind the scenes, the real crackdowns will quietly be on honest Americans, those people who still think they can loan a firearm to their brother-in-law or sell it to the neighbor down the street. Well, you better be darn sure that you know the neighbor down the street and that he hasn't joined the Biden-Stasi-style rat-out-your-neighbor program, taken a bribe from Big Brother, FBI informant style, and agreed to set you up. Buy your gun for American fiat dollars and then turn you over to the BATF for a quick railroad job to the same place they're putting all the other white supremacist terrorists. The real goal, long term, is to scare you to the point where you know you're never ever going to be allowed again, you peon you, to purchase, trade, or acquire firearms or even ammunition. This is profoundly evil. Oh, and that reminds me, too, as a friend of mine, Harmon Taylor, likes to remind all of us who understand at least a bit about the law, really, you have to change your terminology. What we have are no longer firearms. Really, they never were. They are projectile-based self-defense tools, to which the Second Amendment, amazingly enough, actually still applies. If you remember what Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence, folks, it boils down to not allowing them to claim a jurisdiction over you, quote, foreign to our Constitution and laws. Now's the time to think about it, and think about it hard. Are you a feudal serf or a free American? And just when will you decide enough is enough? And we'll have more right after the bottom of the hour break. Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening. I'm still your host, Mark Call, and we're talking about some things that are admittedly kind of uncomfortable. We don't like to think about them because we don't like to think about the fact that whether we like it or not, we're already at war. Some have said what we're dealing with nowadays is fourth generational warfare. We're certainly having to deal with issues like bio-warfare on a massive scale that most Americans probably won't wake up to until they don't wake up at all. And that kind of takes me back to where I started during the first segment by suggesting that there are a lot of people, they've been deliberately dumbed down, they've been taught not to think, and at this point, folks, you're going to have a hell of a time, and I use that word explicitly, even trying to get through to them, because they don't believe that logic matters. They don't believe facts matter either, and since they're not willing to admit cause and effect, you're basically at a complete loss in terms of dealing with them in the way that human beings have normally dealt with one another in our lifetimes. Facts, logic, convincing them, showing them the truth of a situation, letting them make their own choices. Not to be confused, by the way, with letting them make yours. It was once called enlightened self-interest, mutual respect, even Adam Smith's invisible hand, where people work to their own benefit and that of society in the process. The trouble is, there is no enlightened anything anymore. The lights are turned out. And what's then left takes us back at least decades, arguably centuries, or even longer. Force, coercion, and even, yeah, cunning duplicity. Not from the useful idiots, of course, in that case, but by those that are pulling their strings. Which takes me to where I intended to go during the second segment here. Now, while it may sound like I'm changing gears, I'm not. Over the last several weeks, I've read a couple of books that have to be among the most important masterpieces I've ever come across. Some of you will know what I mean. I've actually mentioned them at least once in the last week or two. Ken Follett wrote a book years ago entitled Pillars of the Earth, the story of a number of people and their lives in feudal England during the 12th century. And it's really an epic, touching on a number of themes. Lords, nobles, peons, people who are bound to the land, kings, bishops, priests, monks, and of course the eternal battle between church and state, or sometimes, as it was then, it's really hard to tell where one ends and the other begins. And as I came to the conclusion of the first book, I started to realize just how dramatic it was that we're getting right back to the very same mentality, and yes, economic situation again. Myself and others have suggested that what's happening here is mercantilism, it's fascism, and yes, these are ancient systems that really do date back and trace precisely to feudalism. And just maybe, folks, that may be the best description of the form of economics that the Biden regime is pushing on people that you're going to find. As Klaus Schwab said for the World Economic Forum, when we finish the Great Reset, quote, you won't own anything, and you'll be happy. And the first half of that, anyway, was true. And it turns out he was describing precisely the situation in medieval feudal England. See how much of this rings a bell. And bear in mind here, folks, I'm talking about almost 2,000 pages in two books. The second, by the way, took place a couple of hundred years later during the time of the plague, and it was called World Without End. That paint a spectacular picture of the social, economic, religious, and political understandings of the time. And I'll put it this way. The more I read and the more I saw the parallels of feudal America with feudal England, the more I thought, Solomon really did have it right. What has been done is what shall be done, and there really is nothing new under the sun. America's returning full circle to feudalism and to the kind of a rule of law, or more appropriately, lack thereof, that characterized England for centuries. But today's kings and earls have far better technology and control mechanisms, which makes those books and those times all the more remarkable. Just some of the things that the history makes clear. The Earl of a county appointed by the king literally could kill peons with impunity. You crossed his path, he runs you over with his horse. Oh, sorry. Well, actually, I'm not even sorry. You speak back when you should have kept your mouth shut, you uppity peon you. Well, I can kill you now. I can strike you down with the sword. I can order one of my men-at-arms to take you out. And nobody's even going to dare speak up because they too will end up dead. Why, it's better than Facebook. If the Earl decides to commit rape, why, it's his word against a peon. His knights certainly aren't going to say anything against him. And after all, it was just a peon we're talking about here. In other words, folks, there was nobility, people, persons, and then there was the non-persons. And that even seemed to apply to some of the richer merchants, who, except for the occasional bribe, didn't really amount to much more, because they too weren't in the club and were never going to be. I'm going to start off some of the news-oriented part of this segment with what ought to sound like deja vu. And here again is one of those test cases. Either people get it and say, yeah, the parallels are obvious, or they say you're a conspiracy theorist, in which case it's time to wipe that dust off your feet again and move on. So I guess I'd better start it this way. We're seeing so much, is there a politer word than BS, being spread by the various regimes around the world, especially the new American communist regime, that if it wasn't for the fact that we're getting used to the smell, it would boggle the mind. Kind of makes me wonder just how many times do dumbed-down Americans have to hear the same stinking, whopping lies from the controlled press, Orwell's Ministry of Truth, and pretend they're still swallowing it. Oh, wait a minute. That was the point of the end of Orwell's story. And it's ever more true today. Far too many of them really are still swallowing it. And the big lies just keep getting bigger. The dog ate my homework. Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. The FBI would never suborn perjury, cover up evidence, or pay people to violate the law. And, oh yeah, this was the most honest election in the history of the universe. And did you know the God Emperor is a big supporter of the Second Amendment, too? Okay, well, stop me if you've heard this one before. Only hours after an infamous political criminal, sorely wanted by the regime, received orders to be extradited back to the U.S., where he faced the prospect of dying in a jail cell, knowing what fate awaited him, he decided to commit arsonicide. Or is it Epstein-cide? Here first the official narrative, obviously subject to change. John McAfee, eccentric software creator who made his fortune developing antivirus tools for computers and who's been wanted by the deep state for tax evasion, was found dead in his Barcelona, Spain jail cell on Wednesday afternoon, only hours after a Spanish judge agreed to extradite him to the United States for further persecution. And guess what, folks? I hope you're sitting down for this. Initial evidence, which is scant online, to put it mildly, seems to point to suicide. Oh, and on the irony front, you gotta love this. Here's how Newsweek begins their coverage. Computer entrepreneur John McAfee's death in a Spanish jail cell, reported by local media to be a suicide, drove American conspiracy theorists into a frenzy as they seized on a bunch of 9-month-old tweets saying he feared for his life. Oh, and he also worried about being Jeffrey Epstein, and he tweeted about that a lot too. Newsweek helpfully follows all that up with this reminder. Jeffrey Epstein was the convicted pedophile who died by suicide, yeah, sure, in a New York jail cell in 2019.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Well, given the proliferation of the usual propaganda, you're probably wondering by now, just what exactly did John McAfee himself say about his impending arsonicide? Well, this tweet from November 2019 is being shared widely today. Quote, getting subtle messages, he wrote, from U.S. officials saying, in effect, quote, we're coming for you, McAfee. We're going to kill yourself, unquote. He added, I got a tattoo today just in case. If I suicide myself, I didn't. I was whacked. Check my right arm. Included with the tweet was a photo of his tattoo, which says, $whacked, spelled without the E. And oh yeah, it's trending today. If you search for that hashtag, you'll see no shortage of pictures of it. And that certainly wasn't the only such tweet. Only a few months ago, mid-October 2020, he tweeted from jail, quote, "I am content, and here I have friends. The food is good, all is well. Know that if I hang myself, a la Epstein, it will be no fault of mine," unquote. Let me put it this way, folks. Anybody that doesn't, at this point, sniff at least a whiff of impropriety here has probably already taken the double poke and has no doubt been drinking the Kool-Aid, too. But as for coverage here, I'll close with some comments from John McAfee's wife, who's publicly claimed that the U.S. certainly wanted the software tycoon to, quote, die in prison, most recently only 3 days before he allegedly was Epstein. Janice McAfee made the damning statement on Sunday, wrote the New York Post, in a Father's Day post while her husband was in a Spanish jail awaiting extradition to the U.S. Quote, "John's honesty has often gotten him in trouble with corrupt governments and corrupt government officials because of his outspoken nature and his refusal to be extorted, intimidated, or silenced," she wrote. She added a blistering condemnation of what's happened to just us in the U.S. court system, saying there was no hope for him ever to have a fair trial in America because there is no longer any justice in America. You either play ball or get f***ed. Those are literally the only options now. Before, she added, you were innocent until proven guilty, but somehow that's changed to guilty until proven innocent, and now anyone can level the most heinous accusations against you without any proof, having no basis in reality, but in the court of public opinion, you're tried, convicted, found guilty, and your life irreparably destroyed, all before having your day in court. Now, she continued, U.S. authorities are determined to have John die in prison, which no doubt about it, folks, certainly happened, to make an example of him for speaking out against the corruption within their own government agencies, unquote. And finally, folks, even though you may have heard this, I guess if you haven't, you should at this point, a joke that made the rounds over a year ago. In the form of a Jeopardy answer, we have wallpaper, Christmas tree ornaments, and Jeffrey Epstein. To which the proper question is, what are 3 things that don't hang themselves? Well, now it seems to be 4. Let's revisit next the Biden-Fuhrer's plans for the American Stasi. You know, rat out your neighbors. As one summary put it, this isn't just Big Brother after actual individuals causing harm. That's been clear since Antifa and BLM were allowed to roam freely and do as much evil as they wanted. Instead, they're grouping conservatives, military and ex-military, in with Christians and libertarians and basically anyone who isn't part of the woke culture, and labeling them domestic terrorists. The regime is also going to work with large technology companies. Say it with me, folks. Fascism is a big brother with big corporate public-private partnership to increase information sharing to help combat radicalization. Radicalization means people who no longer are woke, but awaken to the real threats facing America. Some have even read the Constitution, or far worse still, the Bible. Charlie Spearing at Breitbart summarizes the descent of the regime into this outright tyranny by saying the following. Biden began his alleged presidency with a stark warning during the so-called inauguration speech about the, quote, rise in political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism that we must confront. Und wir will defeat. On June 1st, the Biden-Fuhrer described the threat from what he still calls white supremacy as, quote, the most lethal threat to the homeland today. Don't forget, Adolf used exactly the same language, different target. And now officials in the regime are coming out and saying, remember that if you see something, say something initiative during the old Biden regime's first 2 terms? Well, now, we're not going to use it to stop radical Islamic terror anymore. They quit even admitting that there was such a thing as radical Islam. It's all those white guys who still believe the Constitution might have some application somewhere. Said an unnamed official, this is a strategy that is agnostic as to political ideology or off the spectrum. No, it's not, folks. It's a specific attack on a specific political group. And the only thing that's agnostic in this administration is their treatment of the creator of the universe and whether or not he's allowed in the public square. The Biden-Fuhrer is taking the threat of domestic terrorism seriously, continued the official, and would redirect the focus of intelligence agencies to internal threats. Ironically, most of them are the internal threats, and added the following.
They are investigating many agencies of the government and resourcing them appropriately and asking our citizens to participate, said the official, because ultimately this is really about homeland security being a responsibility of each and every German citizen. No, he said citizens of our country, whatever that, you know what that means today, to help us achieve. So, are you a good comrade or a bad comrade?
I want to spend a few minutes today talking about an article and an interview that is important not merely because of the things it says. Admittedly, we've heard most of them before, but from the very reliable and high-profile source from which it issues. One of the things I've observed about the COVID-1984 pandemic is that there seem to be so many people who just simply won't listen to anything because it comes from a source other than CNN or the New York Times. Why, it's not only not fit to print, you shouldn't even be allowed to know it. And isn't that ironic, folks? A year ago, some folks might have thought I was exaggerating. So the reason I think this piece is important is because it originates with Dr. Peter McCullough, American professor of medicine and vice chief of internal medicine at Baylor University, who practices internal medicine and cardiology, is the editor of Reviews in Cardiovascular Medicine, senior editor of the American Journal of Cardiology, and editor of the textbook called Cardiorenal Medicine, as well as president of the Cardiorenal Society. In other words, he has high profile, impeccable credentials, and can hardly be demonized with the usual dismissal of a vaccine denier. And when he suggests, based on the evidence he outlines, that there very well may be a conspiracy, it's hardly a theory. Dr. McCullough made his comments during a webinar with German trial lawyer Dr. Rainer Fulmich, who believes the pandemic was in fact planned and has called it, quote, a crime against humanity. And brace yourselves, let's hit the bottom line up front. Dr. McCullough says he believes the bioterrorism, and that's the appropriate word, has come in two stages. The first wave being the rollout of the engineered bioweapon, aka COVID-19 itself, and the second, the rollout of the dangerous accompanying vaccines, which we know were developed in advance for the deaths of 50,000 or so Americans. The first wave of the bioterrorism, he said, is a respiratory virus that spread across the world and affected relatively few people, only about 1% of the many populations, but generated great fear. And he noted that the virus targeted, quote, mostly the frail and the elderly, but otherwise very few well people. It was much like having the common cold. And he elaborated that he's treated many patients with it, written papers about it, had it himself, and also seen a death in his own family due to COVID. But he believes that it was fear of the virus that was used to very quickly generate policies that were intended to hugely impact human life and economies, such as the draconian lockdowns. And here's one of the money quotes in this piece, folks. Every single thing, said Dr. McCullough, that was done in public health in response to the pandemic made it worse. And he pointed out that early on, as a doctor who was actually treating COVID patients, he came up with a regimen for those struck by the virus, which reduced hospital stays by about 85%, and he began publishing papers on what he had learned. He noted that he was, quote, met with resistance at all levels in terms of actually treating patients and then publishing the papers, but, quote, fortunately, I had enough publication strength to publish the only two papers in the entire medical literature that teaches doctors how to treat COVID-19 patients at home to prevent hospitalization. What we have discovered is that the suppression of early treatment was tightly linked to the development of the vaccine. Hey, if you want to have an emergency, folks, you got to make darn sure it really is one. And one way to do that is to make sure that the requirements are met, like no alternative treatments. And they worked really hard on that score. Back to the quote. And the entire program, in a sense, he said, bioterrorism phase one was rolled out and was really about keeping the population in fear and in isolation, preparing them to accept the vaccine, which appears to be phase two of a bioterrorism operation, unquote. And from there, he went on to add the following, explaining that both the COVID-1984 virus and the vaccines deliver the spike protein to the human body, which is, quote, the gain-of-function target of this bioterrorism research. He acknowledged he couldn't come right out and say all of that on national television, obviously, because the medical establishment by now has done such a good job of propagandizing and politicizing the issue. Quote, what we've learned over time is that we could no longer communicate with government agencies. We actually couldn't communicate with our propagandized colleagues in major medical centers, all of which appear to be under a spell, almost as if they've been hypnotized. Well, folks, either that or they're afraid of losing their career, or worse. Good doctors, he continued, are doing unthinkable things, like injecting biologically active messenger RNA that produces this pathogenic spike protein into pregnant women. I think that when these doctors wake up from their trance, they're going to be shocked to think what they've done to people, he said, echoing what he and Dr. Harvey Risch, professor at the Yale School of Public Health, told Fox News and host Laura Ingraham during an interview last month. And he's right, folks. Doctors who participate in this fraud are violating every single ethical standard that once applied to their profession. He described an early treatment initiative that he started last summer in order to keep COVID patients out of the hospital, which involved organizing multiple groups of medical doctors in the United States and abroad. And although they quickly discovered there were some governments that wanted to block them from providing these treatments, with the help of the Association of Physicians and Surgeons, they were able to put out a home patient guide. And in the U.S., organized a number of different telemedical services so that people with COVID-19 were able to call in and get the medications they needed, prescribed and available through a local pharmacy, or order them through online mail-order pharmacies. He went on to say that he believed the suppression of early treatment was, quote, tightly linked to the vaccine, and that is what led him to focus his attention on warning the public about them. Quote, we know that this is phase two of bioterrorism. We don't know who's behind it, but we know that they want a needle in every arm to inject messenger RNA or adenoviral DNA into every human being, he said, reiterating, they want every human being. The doctor later warned that the experimental so-called vaccines that turn out not to be vaccines at all could ultimately lead to cancers as well as sterilizing young women. Among other things, McCullough said his goal is to set apart a large group of people that the system simply couldn't get to, which would include those who've already had the virus, those with natural or acquired immunity, children, pregnant women, and women of childbearing age. The cardiologist then went on to say that because there is no clinical benefit in young people whatsoever to get the vaccine, either one case of myocarditis or pericarditis following the shots, quote, is too many. And even though the CDC is aware of hundreds of alarming reports of cases of heart swelling in teenagers and young adults, they're not really going to do anything. Simply reevaluate the matter later on in June. And he accused the medical establishment of neglecting to do anything to reduce the risks of the vaccines. As someone who's chaired over two dozen vaccine safety monitoring boards for the FDA and the National Institute of Health, McCullough certainly has room to criticize the way in which the vaccines have been rolled out. Quote, with this program, there is no critical event committee, there is no data safety monitoring board, and there's no human ethics committee, he said. Those structures are mandatory for all large clinical investigations, and so the word that has to be used for what's really going on is malfeasance. That's wrongdoing of people in authority, unquote. And he added, without any safety measures in place, you can see what's going on. Basically, he said, it's the largest application of a biological product with the greatest amount of morbidity and mortality in the history of our country. Whereupon he goes back to the numbers. We're at a level of over 5,000 known deaths so far, as you know, and I think about 15,000 hospitalizations. In the EU, it's over 10,000 deaths. He went on to explain that because VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, and their database only amounts to about 10% at best of the bad reactions to the vaccines, his team has had to go to other sources for information. We're working with the Center for Medicaid, or CMS, data, and we have a pretty good lead that the real number is approximately tenfold. In other words, what VAERS and the official sources are claiming. Quote, we now have a whistleblower inside the CMS, he said, and we have two whistleblowers in the CDC, leading him to say, quote, we think we have 50,000 dead Americans, 50,000 deaths. So we actually have more deaths due to the COVID vaccine now per day than certainly the viral illness itself by far. It's basically propagandized bioterrorism by injection, unquote. And he said he's seen people in his office already with cases of portal vein thrombosis, myocarditis, and serious memory problems post-vaccination. Quote, it's so disconcerting. But he wasn't yet quite finished. He went on to express what's been called a chilling theory that the vaccines could have been designed specifically
to reduce the global surplus population. Quote, if you said this is all a Gates Foundation program to reduce the population, it's fitting very well with that hypothesis, right? The first wave was to kill the old people by the respiratory infection, and the second wave is to take the survivors and target the young people and sterilize them, he said. If you notice the messaging in the country, in the United States, they're not even interested in old people now. They want the kids. They want the kids, 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 kids. There's such a focus on the kids, he said, noting that in Toronto, Canada last month, they lured the children with promises of ice cream to take the poke. According to one report, the government of Ontario, which doesn't require parental consent for children to get vaccinated, encouraged kids to get the Pfizer vaccine at a pop-up vaccine event. They held the parents back, he said, and they were vaccinating the kids, railed the doctor, noting that his wife's Canadian mother was forcibly vaccinated against her will. And he then went on to predict that the United States is gearing up for exactly that, to force vaccinate the population. I know this has been a difficult show this evening, but I want to make it as clear as I possibly can. The time for indecision is over. And as Patrick Henry once said, back when Americans still knew history, the war is actually begun. And if you don't know the rest, you certainly should.